This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Before Sex and the City and Viagra, we had Masters and Johnson, the pioneering research team that, through the biggest sex experiment in U.S. history, uncovered the mysteries of sex and taught America how to love. William Masters and Virginia Johnson's studies on sexuality made headlines in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, including a Time cover story and appearances on Meet the Press and Larry King. But for all their scientific and social contributions, Masters and Johnson's personal and professional lives have very much remained a mystery. Now, on the 50th anniversary of their landmark partnership, critically acclaimed biographer Thomas Mayer brings shocking new revelations about the famous couple to light in his new book, Masters of Sex, The Life and Times of William Masters and Virginia Johnson, the couple who taught America how to love. Help me welcome to the program, author Tom Mayer. Tom, how are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to it. Let's start with, what are you working on and where are you when all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, this is a book. I've got a story to tell.
Well, 15 years ago, believe it or not, I interviewed William Masters on the day that he retired. This is in 1994. I worked as a health and science writer for the newspaper Newsday here in Long Island, New York. And so I interviewed Masters, and at the time I was actually writing another book about Dr. Benjamin Spock, the baby doctor. And so it was a little bit, it was somewhat kind of the same in terms of the relationship of Dr. Spock and his wife, and Masters and Johnson, who were married. But I sat, when I finished the interview with Masters, I said, geez, a man and woman studying love and sex, who are not married, then they get married, and then after 20 years they divorce. And that's, there must be a story behind that. Well, it took me a long time to finally get around to it, and also getting the cooperation of Virginia Johnson. And that happened in 2005. And she's really kind of the star of the show. The book is in very much a story of Virginia's life as almost a Pygmalion story. In other words, a woman who was twice divorced, age 32, who, with two children, decided to go back to college. And when she did, this is in St. Louis at Washington University, she got a job in the medical school filling out insurance forms. And it was right around the time that Masters, who was a OBGYN and one of the top surgeons at Washington University, had gotten permission, finally, to do what he always hoped to do, which was conduct the largest medical experiment into how the body responded during sex. Because what Masters and Johnson ultimately represented was the medicalization of sex prior to Masters and Johnson. People are aware of Kinsey. They may have seen the movie. But Kinsey was a sociologist. He surveyed people about their views and about their behavior, but notoriously, people lie about sex. And bear in mind, before that, there were people would either rely upon their religious leaders, go to a priest, minister, or a rabbi, or go to Freudian, usually a psychologist, some type of therapist that was trained in Freud. But none of this was based upon medicine. So what Masters and Johnson did was really do, they brought medicine into the whole discussion of sexuality.
We're talking with award-winning investigative journalist Thomas Mayer. His new book is Masters of Sex, and we'll be giving away a free copy here at the end of the interview, so stay tuned. So Kinsey, which, you know, we saw the movie, Kinsey was interviewing people, more of a sociological study, not a lot of science involved, just a lot of, questionnaires, that type of thing. Masters and Johnson were really, they were watching people have sex, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. For 10 years, what they did was they observed more than 700 volunteers. Primarily, these were graduate students, faculty-wise, doctors, and people who were primarily, usually they were married, but a number of them were not married. And what they did was they observed how the body worked. Bear in mind, when most doctors will have patients that invariably bring up questions about sex, particularly when a marriage is troubled. It's usually either money or has to do with matters of sexuality. And often people will go to doctors, but doctors were very ill-equipped to deal with these questions. So Masters, particularly, what he wanted to do, and he got the approval of the medical school and such, to essentially study how the body worked so that they could come up with a therapy that would help fix the problems. So they had to first study the body in order to fix it. And that was really the first book that they did, and then the second book had to do with their therapy. And it revolutionized medicine's approach to sexuality. In many ways, the today's modern sex clinics, at both in medical schools and private therapists and such, they rely upon Masters and Johnson's approach.
Thomas Mayer is the author of Masters of Sex. The phone lines are open. If you got a question, 977-1070. Was it controversial at the time, or was America ready for this kind of thing?
Oh, it's still controversial to this day. You know, somebody advised me before I began the book that sex is one of those things that everybody has an opinion about. And but sure, it was very controversial. When their first book came out, it was revolutionary. It was as if somebody had mapped for the first time how the body worked during sex, which is, you know, essentially it's the process by which the propagation of the species occurs. You know, so this was something that was really a big question mark in medical circles, and people didn't. What they did was they really opened the door to the whole discussion of sex within a public health and medical realm. And then, of course, their second book was very controversial. And one of the things I found, somewhat to my dismay, is that they did a third book on homosexuality, and it turns out the case studies having to do with their theory of gay conversion, in other words, that therapy, their therapy could change the orientation of people from homosexuality to heterosexuality. Well, it turns out those case studies were fabricated, and that has proven to be pretty controversial today, because so many different religious groups, particularly conservative religious groups and political groups, have embraced this whole idea that homosexuals, gays, could convert, could change, if they really wanted to, their orientation. And they would often point to Masters and Johnson's work. And now what I'm showing in my research is that those case studies were actually fabricated.
Now, we're talking with Tom Merrick. Tom, how did you find that out, that those case studies, that they made them up? And number one, number two, what was their motivation for lying?
Well, it's a very complicated reason. The reasons for it I discuss in the book, but basically how I found out, I interviewed a number of different staffers. And bear in mind, this is a book that's completely on the record. In other words, I don't use anonymous names and such. So everybody I spoke to on the record, and all of the staffers that I spoke to, talked about these gay conversion cases that were the subject of this book by Masters and Johnson, but they had never seen any of these cases. And one particular associate, Dr. Robert Kolodny, was later asked to help with that book, and he realized that unlike their previous work, there were no records, there were no documents. When they did their first book, there were plenty of documents. There were audio tapes of conversations, there were medical documents and such. In this particular case, there were not any. So I interviewed Virginia Johnson for this book, and she acknowledged that these cases were fabricated by Masters, and she had somewhat pulled away from the day-to-day business, and she tried to stop that book, and it's discussed in my biography. There's a kind of a dramatic scene in which Virginia Johnson and this Dr. Robert Kolodny try to convince Masters not to publish the book. But he goes ahead, and it's kind of too far along in the process, and the book is published, and they go on Meet the Press, actually, and they're quizzed about all of this, and Virginia kind of goes along with it. But in this, my biography, she explains that, indeed, that she felt it was a bad book and that and she acknowledges that they were fabricated.
Thomas Mayer is the author of the new book, Masters of Sex, The Life and Times of William Masters and Virginia Johnson, the couple who taught America how to love. They had an alliance with Hugh Hefner and Playboy, is that right? At one point they were working with Playboy?
Yeah, well, you know, part of the problem, even with what I just mentioned about their studies, they really didn't have any oversight because they didn't have any government research money. The government didn't want to go near it. So Playboy, actually, Hugh Hefner was very proud of his association. He provided $300,000 over a 10-year period, and they would answer questions that Playboy would have. You know, one of the major findings that Masters and Johnson had was on the power of female sexuality. In other words, they underlined for the first time the multi-orgasmic capacity of women, and that women are not the fairer sex. Quite frankly, they have a greater capacity than men. And so this really revolutionized the way that we looked at female sexuality. Certainly the feminist movement would point to Masters and Johnson's work throughout the 70s and 80s, but it really brought a sense of equality to the bedroom as well. And so the first time that they ever talked about certain aspects of female anatomy in Playboy magazine were when they did the interview with Masters and Johnson in 1968. Now, the magazine had been in business for 15 years, but the first time that they talked about aspects of female sexuality, like very basic things, and I won't be too clinical here, but these were discussed by Masters and Johnson for the first time in 1968.
Thomas Mayer, the new book is Masters of Sex. So tell us about the personal relationship between William Masters and Virginia Johnson. They were doing a little bit of their own research together, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think it's probably the most fascinating part of the whole book is the relationship. As I mentioned before, Virginia came into the university hoping to get a degree. She had been twice divorced, and Masters needed a female partner. Female doctors wouldn't go near it, and his wife didn't want to get involved. They had just had two children, so she didn't want to get involved. And Virginia was convinced to become of it, and it turns out that she was a terrific partner for him. And she convinced people to get engaged, to volunteer for their work. But they also had an affair very early on. Bear in mind, as you can well imagine, observing all these people having sex over a time period, and there was a lot of sexual energy in there. And Masters said to Johnson that by having sex with him, it would somehow keep things in check, if you will. And it turned out to be a rather very complicated affair between them. It was pretty torrid there for a while. Ironically, Virginia, about 12 years into their partnership, met a man who was actually a patron of their work. It was a CEO here in New York from a perfume company, and he wanted to get married. She wanted to get married to him, and when Masters found out, he said, no, marry me instead, because he was concerned that their business partnership would break up. So he divorced his wife. Masters divorced his wife, with whom he lived out in the suburbs with two kids, and got married to Johnson. And it's very complicated reasons and why it all happened, very dramatic. It's all explained in the book. But Masters and Johnson were married for about 20 years in a loveless marriage, even though they were America's experts on sex and love. They got married fundamentally for business reasons. And at the end of the book, they get divorced. Masters goes looking for his original love, a girl that was the sister of his college roommate. And and Virginia goes looking for her lost love, the boy that you meet at the very beginning of my book who takes her virginity. And everybody thought they would get married, and they never did. But she goes looking for him 50 years later, and that's the surprise ending of the book.
The book is Masters of Sex, The Life and Times of William Masters and Virginia Johnson. We'll be giving away a free copy here in just a couple of minutes. Tom, is this kind of work still going on today? I mean, and I'm just naive, but I mean, are there places where doctors are watching people have sex?
No. it's interesting because one of the things I talk about is the assassination of George Wallace, the attempted assassination of George Wallace when he was running for president in 1972. It left him a cripple, and Virginia Johnson and William Masters became his doctor, trying to salvage his marriage, actually. And, there are a lot of people with various different handicaps who would be benefited from the various different advances that we have had in medicine with different instruments and such. But this work is so radioactive that organized medicine has really avoided it. I know Washington University in St. Louis, they became very skittish about the work. And so there isn't a lot of work, certainly not of the large-scale type of experiments that Masters and Johnson were conducting.
How crazy did it get? How far out there did they actually get during their research?
Well, bear in mind, unlike what people may be familiar with, the Kinsey group, they were very professional with what they did. They had an affair, but they were very careful to make sure that the staff didn't have any affairs between them and that there were no affairs with the patients. But they did believe, for instance, Masters particularly believed in sex surrogates, that in other words, for men who had sexual difficulties, in the more extreme cases, about 60 cases overall, they provided a female surrogate, or they helped arrange for a female surrogate, who would essentially help these men with their sexual problems. So that tended to be very controversial. Just the work itself was very controversial. But I should underline, their therapy was essentially a talking therapy. What they would do is they would teach people how to touch, but they didn't show them. They talked about it in general terms, and they maybe would have illustrations and such. But it was the couples who would go off into hotel rooms and do their homework, if you will. So they were very strict and very careful about any type of charges of unprofessional. They were quite professional in their approach.
And, of course, this is many years before men could pop Viagra.
Yeah, well, when you look at the current age of Viagra, it really goes, a lot of that is traceable to Masters and Johnson. They opened up the whole aspect of medicine's approach to sexuality. And, even today, there still, though, is a significant problem with sexual dysfunctions. In fact, the rate of sexual dysfunctions are, according to the most recent studies, virtually as high as they were when Masters and Johnson started 50 years ago. That's probably the biggest mystery to me and some of the biggest enigma. But what it shows, I think, is that even though we come up with questions and we solve some of the problems of sexuality, the aspects of emotion, of love, and the connection to sexuality still is not addressed. In many ways, we know a lot more about sex, and we seem as clueless about love as ever. And to some extent, that was played out in the lives of Masters and Johnson themselves.
It's a fascinating new book. Some smart Hollywood producer will option it right quickly. I would think it would be a great movie. And it's an even better book, Masters of Sex, The Life and Times of William Masters and Virginia Johnson, The Couple Who Taught America How to Love, author Thomas Mayer. Thomas, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
A break for local news and weather. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.